hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on the Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Monica Lovell in the driver's seat this morning. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Mr. Les German. How are you this morning, sir?
I am blessed and highly favored and one day closer to glory.
Amen. Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can also send it in a private message on Facebook, or you can put it in the comments, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get it posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Drew's Plumbing, located in Corn. For all your plumbing and HVAC needs, contact Drew's. They are a company that cares. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
Yes, Lord. We just again thank you for this time, Father, this hour we've set aside, Father. I just thank you for Monica and Tina, Father, and their commitment to this hour of power, Lord. It is reaching many, many people, Lord, and I just bless everyone that is listening today. Father, again, we just ask you to open their ears and their eyes to your spirit, Lord, and let them understand who they are in Christ, Heavenly Father. We just come against any attack of the enemy. We break your power, Satan. We cancel your assignment. And, Lord, we just know that Luke 10:19, you said in your word that you have given us all power over the enemy. It's not a pride thing. It's a responsibility. So we take that responsibility, Lord, and we just rebuke the enemy. We ask, Lord, you set angels around this time. And just give us give us insight to what you want to do in our lives and through us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning. Are you a disciple?
Yep. I be one.
I'm trying really hard.
And all the English teachers out there going, what is wrong with that dude? But, yeah, I was coming home last night, and I was praying about it. I said, Lord, I don't have anything. And boom, as soon as I said that, it was like, are you a disciple? Well, yeah. So what does it mean to be a disciple? If you have been born again, you are a disciple. You can run from it all day long, but God wants us to advance his kingdom. Jesus came, what? What did he say? I come to defeat the works of the enemy. And what better way to defeat the works of the enemy than to spread Jesus' gospel? You know what I'm saying? Saint Francis of Assisi. I've studied him just a little bit, but he was born in the year 1181, died in 1226. He was a priest over in Italy. In fact, little rabbit trail here, he put together the first live nativity scene in Italy. I thought that was kind of cool. Anyway, so St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. In other words, we are to live our life as the perfect example. Not perfect. We're not perfect, but I'm just saying we strive to live our life according to what we're supposed to live. I mean, the moral compass that we're supposed to follow. Jesus needs to be the center of our life. The word says we are to conform to the image of Christ, you know? But I love that. Just preach the gospel. If you have to use words, use words. I love that. So in all that, what's it mean to be a disciple? Okay. A disciple is a student. A disciple is a learner. But he's also a follower. This goes without saying, but I've got to say it. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and believe in his teachings, you know. And let me, again, take a little side note. We cannot be cafeteria Christians. So what do I mean by that? I like that, but not that. I'll do this, but not that. I like this, but not this. We're picking it apart. Are you kidding me? So stop being a cafeteria Christian is what I call it. So to be a disciple, we've got to read and study the scriptures. Did you notice what I said? Read and study. We don't just read it to be reading it. We have to study it. And if you have to spend, if the Lord has you spend all day on one scripture, there's going to be a wealth of information that he's going to download to you. So in studying that, we're going to retain it. You know what I'm saying? And we'll understand the teachings. And this will deepen our knowledge of the truth, of the faith. You know, I read this, I don't know where I read it the other day. It's been some time ago, but this guy wrote, and I liked it. He said, why do you think Satan is after Christians so much? Because the word of God is true. I thought that's good. So, as a disciple, we're to pray. God wants a personal relationship, and that will be obtained through prayer, and of course, study, reading the Bible. But he wants relationship, not religion. I'm just sorry, people. I don't want to offend anybody, but I think God is so tired of this. Well, I'm this, I'm a that. You're carrying that label around like some trophy. Are you kidding me? Are you son or daughter of the Most High God? Then we're brother and sisters. I don't care what denomination or what church you go to. If you're born again, you're my brother, you're my sister. End of discussion. I don't know. I just think God is just kind of tired of this, because he'll ask, you know, you're what? Because he didn't put labels on us. Man has put labels on us. So, all right. So develop a personal relationship. Follow his teachings. We have to live our lives according to the teachings of Jesus Christ if we are going to be true disciples. Okay? And as a follower of Jesus, do I get it right every time? Oh, no. But I want to follow him. So what's that mean? I've got to communicate with him. He's got to download stuff to me. He's got to, on a regular basis, kind of tap me on the shoulder, and the Holy Spirit says, don't want you doing that no more. Okay. I thought, no. No. Don't even open your mouth or it'll get ugly. But I want it. Don't even open your mouth or it'll get, okay, all right. They are my problems. Okay, Lord, I release them to you. So in that, I distance myself from trying to correct other people. Are you with me? Sometimes I need to, but I do it in love. How do I do that? Well, I pray a bunch. And I'll literally say out loud, Lord, let my words heal and not hurt. And help me see them through your eyes, not mine. And if I give it up, and it needs to be in God's timing. Because a disciple not only teaches and preaches, he corrects. I'm sorry, that's exactly what we're supposed to do, I think. So what do? I lower my voice and I slow my speech, and it stays. I stay there, and it brings in peace. Okay. That seems to work about 80% of the time. Because sometimes people, when they're corrected, they put up the walls of defense. And they deny it. They dismiss it. Oh, that's not me. God wants to put a mirror in front of us to change and tweak our behavior, okay? And sometimes he uses people. Because I'm telling you folks, if we're disciples, we have to be discipled. All right? We need correction. But I'm this, I'm that. I know. But I'm a preacher. I know. But you're human. You know? We got to be discipled. There's people that God has sent out of the woodwork to me. It's like, who is this guy or gal? What? But what they said was absolutely 100% right on. And I had to receive it. Was it easy? No. It wasn't, because I thought it was this way, and no, God sent somebody that was totally, what's the word, I guess, that I never gave credence to, you know? But God sent people. Cross my path, say less, I want you to do this, do this. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, he'll never raise his voice at you, but he wants us to change. Is it easy? No. Is it worth it? Yes. So by being a disciple of Jesus Christ means we have to love others, okay? We have to, I think we have to show kindness, okay? Forgiveness, obviously. Integrity and good character. Again, St. Francis of Assisi, you know. No, that's what he's saying. Live your life as an outward expression of the way Jesus lived. Do I get it right every time? No. But, and I'll tell you, people, sometimes I have to ask forgiveness of myself. Lord, please forgive me for doing this or saying whatever, but then less I forgive you. I have to forgive myself. If I don't forgive myself, I'm allowing the enemy to camp out in my backyard. So, take heed of that. I would suggest, if you're going to be a disciple, I suggest you get hooked up with fellow believers that are, we're all disciples, okay? But surround yourself with people that are believers and strong in the Lord, can support, encourage you, and again, correct us if we need, okay? Whatever that looks like, attend church that's preaching the word that you know. And again, it's not, each church has a different flavor, and I get it, you know, but find, go seek. It's kind of fun, actually, to go seek out, and then boom, God will show you where you're needed and where you're going to get fed, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. There, God's Spirit is moving like I think it's never moved before. And I'm just going to, I'm not some prophet. I'm not even close to claiming, but I'm feeling something in my spirit. In the next few months, I think we're going to see some huge changes. I don't know what that looks like. I have no idea. But I'm just, in my prayer, in just my everyday walk with the Lord, it's just like, man, I think something's coming. So we're going to need each other's support, is what I'm saying. All right, so again, a disciple, what's a disciple do? He serves others, okay? Again, Jesus served others, didn't he? So that's our job. I think God told me one time, well, now this was in my marriage, okay? I'll take a side note again. God said, young man, so that tells you that was a long time ago. But he said, young man, your job is to make Donna glad she married you. I think I can transfer that to my walk as a disciple. My job is to make people glad they met me. Because where I go, the Holy Spirit goes. And again, it's not some pride thing. I'm not some spiritual guru. I'm not saying that at all. I am just saying I have got to portray my Lord Jesus Christ in my everyday words and my everyday actions. So God gives you an opportunity to share the gospel. And it doesn't have to be complicated. There's not 14 steps and blah, blah, blah. You know, it just make it simple. Tell them your testimony. Tell them your story, whatever. God will use it. But if he opens the door to, I don't know, family, friends, coworkers, on the golf course, I don't know. Wait till he hits, you know, tees off before you, you know what I'm saying? So conforming to the image of Christ. Are you holy at church and unholy at home? Man, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. The community thinks this guy or gal is just, man, they're just almost perfect. Oh, my gosh, they're bragged on and they're loved on and da-da-da. But, boy, at home, yes, the kids or their spouse, they're a different person. Okay? So, people, I'm telling you, it's serious business. I've actually she's a lady now, grown lady, but she said her daddy was a preacher. And the community loved him. Boy, he had a great church and preaching the word of God. But when he got home, she said, we walked on eggshells. He was always on thin ice, wondering when he was going to explode on us. Now, come on. Come on. We got to get real. So, men, I'm going to ask you something. Are you a spiritual father? Are you the guard at the gate for your family in the spirit realm? I know you'll protect them physically. I get that. And you should. But are you a spiritual father? A model of what a godly man should do in all that you do. Okay? And women, are you spiritual mothers? Same thing. Are you a model of a godly woman in all that you do? See, God gave me this couple things real quick. What you think about, talk about, comes about. I've said that here before, I think, but you know, it's a reality. So, as a disciple, I mentioned this a little bit. We need to connect with other people to build friendships and relationships. People that can trust you will listen to you. Okay. So, not saying that you don't share the gospel to a stranger. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just saying God uses relationships, I believe, more often. And so he wants us not hibernate in your house. I think we need to get out and about. We're not an island, okay? And what, I don't care if you're a brand new Christian. You have a story that's unique. Go tell it, okay? Go tell about your experience and your testimony, how Jesus got a hold of you and how your life has been changed now that you're walking with the Lord. That is so simple. And it's your story. You can tell that. You don't have to have a 500 scriptures memorized or nothing like that, you know. But Proverbs says this, because as we grow, I don't care if you've been a Christian since you were 10 years old, whatever, but If we are truly called to be disciples, and I'm hitting this again, we have got to be disciplined, okay, in our walk, in our study, in dealing with people. And again, I keep hitting this, but we don't like correction. But what's Proverbs? Proverbs 12:1. To accept correction is wise. So, as a disciple, we're kind, gentle, and patient. We're submitted to God's will for our life. We sacrifice for others. Let me say that again. We sacrifice for others, especially for your marriage and your children. Okay? That's your job, people. Part of being a disciple means that you work. You have a job. You're not lazy. Okay? Another part is you always look for the good in people, and don't live a negative life. I believe. All right, so we're humans. We're carbon based. life forms. We need food. You can tell I don't miss very many meals. But think about this, and I may have mentioned this before, but the demonic realm, the demons feed on our negativity. That's their food, people. And that makes them stronger when we're negative, criticize, because again, there's a difference between correction and criticism. Correction is basically targeting the behavior, leaving the core person intact. If you criticize, then you're attacking the core person. You're ripping and shredding their little spirit. Okay? Big difference. So, let me run through some verses the Lord gave me. All right, John 15, 18 through 19. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. This is Jesus talking. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I've chosen you out of the world. And you've heard this. We're in the world, but not of it. We've heard that 100,000 times, but that's so true. Maybe some people out there listening, maybe they just need to understand that, and I'm not, do what God tells you to do. If he tells you to go knock on a door, if you might just stop and say, all right, Lord, when do I knock on that door? Now? Because if you went now, no, he may want us to be praying tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. He wants us to go knock, but just, you got to inquire of the Lord. It needs to be in his timing. So Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I tell you what, you talk about a comfort. But Jesus is with us. He's always with us. Hello. And he'll give us the direction. And give us the words to say. John 21:17 says, the third time, as Jesus, third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, well, then feed my sheep. So what's that look like? That means you have, I don't want to do stuff out of the flesh. Do I? Yeah, I do. I miss it. Everybody does. Give yourself a break. But I want to try to live my life that is not only feeding God's sheep, but it's in that you're advancing God's kingdom. Okay? I can take off on that one, but... So Matthew 4:19 says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. You know, where Jesus first met Simon, which was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, they were both fishermen. And at this point, they didn't even know Jesus, but he tells them, if they follow him, they will fish for people. They will fish for men. Now, that had, I bet they had a quizzical look on their face, like, what is he talking about? They were confused, I bet you, but they followed him. There was that spirit about the Lord that just was a drawing, and so just maybe just out of pure curiosity, they followed him, I don't know, but the Lord does say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. So as we're knocking on the Lord's door, you know, he's knocking on ours. But it is kind of a two-way street. He never invades our space. Well, I say that. I guess he did. Saul knocked him off that horse or donkey, whatever it was. I guess the Lord could. I just now thought about that. But most time, yeah, Lord, yeah. Yeah, knock him off the horse, or then he'd go, well, let me start with you. What? Yeah. But you know what I'm saying. Most time it's us going seeking him. And John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we are to be a light into this dark, evil world, because it is. Jesus called Satan the prince of the air. I think of it this way. I'm simple, but I think the enemy's kind of like Dracula. He works really, really good in the dark. But man, when you shine the light of God's truth on him, he runs. Okay? And that's why he hates us Christians, because we know the word and the word is truth. Okay? And if we use that word, according to Ephesians 6, right? When you talk about putting on the full armor of God, he talks about, you know, the shield of faith, which and then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's actually the spoken word of God. And what we speak, we get. Hello. And if we speak God's word, it has to happen. He cannot do anything, because his word does not return void. So if we're speaking in line with God's word, it has to happen. And it is so cool when it does. It is so cool to be part of it. And I give him all the glory, credit. I don't keep any credit for me. The Lord told me one time, and I play drums, and I've had people come, oh, yes, such a guy, but whatever. Thank you, but I always deflect it back to the Lord. Thank you, but praise the Lord. Thank you, but praise the Lord. The Lord told me, if you keep those compliments, if you keep that glory, the anointing stops. Okay. Yeah. So anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join me in suffering like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Stop complaining. Okay? God told me this, and I've mentioned it here before, but he said, Les, I don't like your whiny prayers. And I'm not real, real impressed with your opinions. What? Yeah. That's when he told me, he says, I want you to start declaring. Because out of your mouth, what is it, Proverbs 18, I think, says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. I'm telling you, people, it's so true. You'll speak life or death to your relationships, to your job, to your church, your pastor. Well, my pastor, he missed the whatever. I'm sorry, people. Get real. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if someone in your family is sick, speak life. Speak it. Declare it. Job 22:28. Declare a thing, and it will be established, and light will be upon your path. We are to be the light into the world. John 12:26. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Do I serve him to get honor? No. Let me throw this out. As a disciple, we need to worship the Lord. But we, John, oh, where is it at? I'm just now thinking, John 10, I think it's somewhere, but it says we are to worship in spirit and in truth. Okay. Lord spoke to me and said that worship is the currency of heaven. We use currency today to exchange for goods and services, right? I give someone money, they give me this, or they work for me, whatever. Goods and services are exchanged because of the money that we have. And so God says worship is an exchange, just like that. When you worship me in spirit and in truth, there's blessings. Here's the crucial point, though. We worship him because of who he is. We worship him not to get the blessings. We worship him in spirit and in truth because of who he is and what Jesus has done for us. That is the true worship. Blessings may come, may not. I don't know. I don't care about that. I am doing it because of who he is and who he is in my life. I tell you what, God's looking for real Christians. And I really believe he is, in this time, he is purging his church. There's no more fence riders. You can't have a foot in this world and a foot in the, no, you're either for him or you're against him. It's getting more black and white, okay, I believe. So